going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long. At 5:45, we'll have our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steve Geller will join us a little after 4:20 this afternoon. We'll have on with us David Grubb. We'll talk Pelicans and Joe Dumars. Basically, kind of first forte into the media here in New Orleans. And at 4:40, Evelyn Van Pelt, who is kind of runs things at the Rebel Walk, will be on with us to talk about, man, a host of Ole Miss players. I don't, in my time of 40 years, don't ever remember this many guys from Ole Miss coming out one draft class. So we'll get Evelyn's take on that. Also want to tell everybody at 5:20, my old pal Rich Marty joins us, former Penn State star, played with the Saints 7 or 8 years, was a tremendous receiver, special teams guy. Rich don't miss a Penn State game. So I want his thoughts on Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. But today kind of grabs the headlines right off the bat. Joe Dumars, the executive vice president of basketball operations for the Pelicans, met the press, and this is his opening statement.
Happy to be home. Happy to be back in Louisiana. It's been a whirlwind journey for me. But before I get started, first of all, I want to just thank Mrs. Benson for this opportunity to actually be able to come back home and to do this, to take on this task. As Mrs. Benson said, we've spent quite a bit of time together and just talked about, the main thing we talked about really is the culture of Louisiana, the fans, this organization, good people, surrounding yourself with the right people. And so I feel very confident taking on this role primarily because of her and her insight and her approach to people and how you deal with people. I'll say this, and I say it with as much humility as possible, but there's just not a lot of places I would have left New York for. I enjoyed my job in New York. It was great. Loved it at the league office. All the people on the 20th floor that I work with in New York, all those people were great. I loved working with them. I wasn't looking to leave, but sometimes opportunities come along and you know right place, right time, right people. And that's what happened here with the Pelicans, with Ms. Benson. So I really want to thank Ms. Benson for this opportunity to come home. The other thing I want to do is just say this, I've gotten to see a lot of stuff over the years throughout my NBA career, but there are certain things that are They're universal, I think. And I think you fill your building with like-minded good people. And I think you win with good people. And I often say this, just because you're a good person don't mean you're not a tough person. So you can be a good person and tough at the same time. And I don't stand here making a lot of proclamations about, you know, I'm pounding my fist and doing this, but we really want to hire good people here. We really want to bring in the right type of players here. We want people that are going to embrace New Orleans, they're going to embrace being in this city, in this state. If you don't know the fans of Louisiana, you may not get it. Like, you know, in my house in Michigan, you know, we got Saints stuff. Man. Like, we're diehard Saints fans in Michigan. We didn't grow up Detroit Lions fans. We were Saints fans. And so I think if you're from here, you understand what it is to be a fan of Louisiana. And I say that because I say, you know, if I'm living in Michigan and LSU is playing, I didn't go to LSU, but I'm pulling for LSU. You know, I'm pulling for ULL. I'm pulling for Louisiana Tech. And that's just the way we are here as fans from Louisiana. And I love that about this. And so the team, the players, all of my colleagues that I'll be working with here, I truly believe in, like, you build a great culture where everyone feels great coming into the building every day. Win, lose, or draw, you feel great coming into the building. So I'll put a tremendous emphasis on culture, what the building is like, and then the basketball part. That's for myself and my staff to make sure we pick the right people, but the culture has to be right first. And so I'll put a heavy emphasis on that and try to build it the right way, and then we'll go from there. So I just wanted to open up, and like I said, thank Mrs. Benson, thank all the people back in the NBA, thank Adam Silver, Mark Tatum. Those guys were incredible to work with for the last 3 years, but I'm super happy to be here and super happy to be home. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Just heard Joe Dumars at his introductory press conference, running the show here now with the Pelicans. And one of the things that's been brought up and certainly discussed on this show and on many other talk shows, not only locally but nationally, what will happen with Zion Williamson? And we've had a number of guests on to talk about it. If it's been David Grubb, who rejoined us back this week, Chuck Dodson, Jin Hale, you name it, we've had a bunch of them all give their opinion on what they think will happen or what they think should happen. Today, Joe Dumars addressed something that he heard said and written on social media.
None whatsoever. I read that last week. I had a mandate. And I was like, if I have, nobody's called me and told me that. Like, no, really, absolutely zero. When me and Mrs. Benson talked, she really just said what she said here. She said to me, she said, Joe, I would love to know what it feels like to win an NBA title. That was it. That was as close to an edict as you would get. And so I intend to do just that, what you just said, was like get to like know people first. Because I don't know the culture inside the building. I don't know the people. I know some of the people. I know Willie. You know, I know someone's going to ask me about the coach and Willie. I've been knowing Willie forever. Great man. But Willie and I, we haven't even sat down and talked yet. Hopefully later on this evening if we can catch up and have time. But we haven't even had a chance to sit down and talk yet just because yesterday was my first day here. And so so I haven't even really had a chance to do that yet. I'm slowly starting to do it now and, like, talk to everyone. But no mandate, zero.
That was Joe Dumars addressing the Zion Williamson question mark that's out there. I think listening to him, Charlie, I think if you were questioning if Willie Green was going to be back for next year, I think you got your answer. Coach is coming back.
Yeah, I mean, you got your answer with the fact that he was there too, Mike. He was in attendance at the introductory press conference for Joe Dumars. And as Joe kind of alluded to, he also had another answer where he talked about his relationship with Willie Green and how long they've been knowing each other. It's been quite some time that they've been connected. So, yes, for those that were wondering, what does Willie Green's future hold? It seems like he will be returning for the 2025-2026 season, the first year under lead executive Joe Dumars.
Yeah, he didn't tell you, but he told you. You know, all you got to do is listen real good. You know, and if Willie's there, you know, if you're a coach and you figure that you ain't going to be here, you're not at the introductory press conference. The thing with Zion, I get too, Charlie, is I think that there is going to be a powwow where everybody sort of sits and talks. And I think first it'll be between Zion and Joe Dumars on exactly kind of what's your view. What do you want to do here? And I think from there, I think it could be a joint meeting with all of them. But I think what Joe Dumars is trying to tell you is, I want to sit down and hear from Zion. And he said in the press conference, I'm here to listen before I make an action.
So the stuff with Zion's fascinating, Mike, because he also mentioned that he's had very productive conversations with Zion since taking the job. And that was, I mean, they already knew each other because he worked for the league offices before taking the Pelicans' lead executive job. But since he's taken the job in New Orleans, that he's spoken with Zion, they've had good conversations, and you can expect that to kind of continue. But the thing, going back a little bit with Willie, Mike, before we hit the break here, you know, Rod Walker for The Advocate had a really good tweet about just the kind of hand that Willie was dealt this season. I know that a lot of people down here aren't big Willie Green fans, that they would have preferred for the Pelicans to move on with this new kind of just kind of clean house after moving on from Griff, also move on from Willie in the process. But just the amount of injuries that he had to overcome this season, he obviously wasn't able to do it. He just wasn't given a good hand this year. And so it's almost kind of like a mulligan that the Pelicans are giving him. At the same time, I told this with Scoot earlier on when I was on with his show, that when you're entering 2025 and 2026, you can imagine that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Willie Green to perform immediately.
Yeah, it's none of this wait till next year. You better do it
now. You got
now.
A mulligan, but I don't think you're
going to get another one.
Exactly.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. And David Grubb, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans, will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlotte Long. And on our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talk and text line, he covers the NBA and the Pelicans, David Grubb. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And you got to hear Joe Dumars for the first time. And I think, even though he didn't say it, I can read between the lines. It looks as though Willie Green is going to be back as the head coach of the Pelicans. And that's something you sort of echoed last week with us.
Yeah, it looks like that decision has been made. You know, Willie was there in attendance. You know, most of the coaching staff was there, a couple of players as well. But it appears that though Joe Dumars says he's going to evaluate the organization, one piece that's safe is Willie Green for the short term. Now, I think the question is, how long does that tenure last? Because I think, you know, you're worried that whenever you have new change and you have these things that these desires to do something different, you know, you do kind of get rid of remnants of the past. And is that setting you up for eventually having to get rid of Willie down the road? I don't know. But, you know, from the start, just like anything is on the first day, everybody's happy. Everybody's getting along. Everybody wants to be in the picture. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Dave, I think, you know, in any organization, no matter where you're at, if it's sports or in business, my thing is if you haven't been successful, I don't want your non-success in my pocket, so to speak. Okay. And I might be pals with you. And I might be longtime pals with you, but I got pals of mine I don't want to be in business with. Okay? So I get what you're saying, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think this is going to be a short walk, but Willie's got to win because nothing cures all the ills that you might have but winning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have no further to look than across the street, you know, for the Saints when they look at, you know, when you look at the Saints. If Dennis Allen had won games, whether you liked him or not, he'd still be coaching the New Orleans Saints. And I think that's the case for Willie Green, is that now all of the things that we've talked about, whether people are good people or whether we like them, hey, that doesn't matter anymore. We're 4 years into this relationship. So all the fans care about, they honestly, they don't care if Willie Green you know, if you caught him on Bourbon Street every night of the week, if the Pelicans won 60 games and were in a chance to win a championship, I don't think they'd care, you know, if any of those things were transpiring. So right now it's just about winning and losing. And for Joe Dumars to come out and say that he hasn't been given, you know, told by the organization who he has to keep and what moves he has to make. Okay, well, this is a Joe Dumars. Everything that goes on is on his ledger. And I think you're right. Ultimately, is you want the ledger to be as controlled as you can make it and not be hamstrung by other people's decisions.
Dave, one of the things is, and we can't have a clear, I guess, clear crystal ball on this, but let's take Zion out of the picture here. What moves do you see that Joe Dumars would try to make, or maybe with positions, I should say, on the court that he will try to upgrade in the offseason?
Well, I think the two things you're looking at immediately is you need to find a point guard, because DeJounte Murray isn't going to be around until at the very least January of next season, recovering from that Achilles injury. If he comes back faster, okay, but I still wouldn't be interested in rushing a guy back from an Achilles injury. So I think you have to find a solution, at least for the short term, at that spot. And then the other is you've got to get longer and more athletic in the front court. This team was terrible at interior defense. It was terrible at blocking shots. It was terrible at providing any kind of intimidation around the basket. Eve Misi was a willing competitor, but he's a young guy who needs to gain some weight. You need experience on along that back line, and you need a length and athleticism. So I think those are the two areas immediately that need his attention.
Dave, Mike and I were talking about Willie in the first segment here of the hour, and just, you know, the bad hand that he was really dealt this year, where you saw some improvement in those first couple of years, and then this past season it falls off a cliff, but then you look at the amount of injuries that the Pelicans suffered throughout the season, and a lot of fans don't want to hear it. I see it all over social media. A lot of folks were really hoping that, you know, Phoenix would go pursue him and pick him up as their next head coach, and that he would leave New Orleans regardless of being fired or not. And I want to get your thoughts on if he deserves the quote-unquote mulligan year that it feels like the Pelicans are giving him.
I don't think, you know, in sports, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you get. And I think winning and losing is the ultimate barometer of success. And in the NBA, coaches win earlier. They don't win at all. And we've talked about this. 11 of the last 13 coaches won their championships in their first four seasons. If that's the league that you're operating in, are the Pelicans close to winning a championship today? I'd say no. Even if they were completely healthy, are you putting them amongst the top four teams in the West? I don't think you would. So to me, I don't think that you know, Willie Green not earning another opportunity with the Pelicans is not the same as saying Willie Green is a bad coach. I just don't think for this the timetable that the Pelicans are on, if you're trying to win now, if that's the goal, and I think that as long as you have Zion Williamson, that's how you have to approach this. I don't know if Willie Green is the coach for you. My ultimate question would be, every coach should give you an advantage at something. Where do you see Willie Green's advantage for your organization right now? What do you have in him that's irreplaceable? And I don't think there's anything that makes him stand out in that regard. So I think, you know, I think I'd agree with fans if they said Willie Green hasn't earned another year here. Now, if they're going to do it, then that's the situation. We just have to deal with it, and hopefully that Joe Dumars can provide them the tools to be more successful. But ultimately, if you were going to fire somebody, if you don't think they can win you a championship 2 years from now, then they can't win you a championship today. And I think that's the way you have to look at that decision.
Dave, I think, you know, we've all seen the college ranks, and you cover the college basketball ranks also, but, you know, and Cooper Flagg is who he is. But if you ended up with pick two or three, what kind of tell the fans, what would you be looking at with those early selections if you got the second pick or the third pick overall? And could you fill at least one of those two needs you brought up?
Yeah, I think you absolutely can. And I think that there are multiple players that even if you fell out of the top two, there are players that you could be happy with in this draft. So certainly Dylan Harper at that number two spot out of Rutgers, a big, athletic, strong, good decision-making guard, comes with NBA lineage. His dad, Ron Harper, obviously won championships with the Bulls and the Lakers. So he's got an NBA pedigree. And then you go down further. I think there are guys like Connor Knipple with Duke. If you fell down a little further, he gives you good decision-making on the perimeter, great size, shooting ability that you could work with. Certainly something that the Pelicans need. And the front court, it's a little bit more dangerous, I think, to find a front court player. They take a little more time to mature. But I think that those perimeter players, I think, you know, at Duke, Trey Johnson, another guy who could come in and be have an immediate impact for the New Orleans Pelicans. DJ Edgecombe out of Baylor is another player that could have an immediate impact. And there are others as well. Point guard, and his name is slipping my mind, out of Illinois, I think could be another player, again, that you cultivate long-term to take on that point guard role as you phase out DeJounte Murray either in the short term or you trade him immediately. So I think if there are players, I don't think losing out on the number one pick is a disaster for the Pelicans as it could be in another year in the draft. I think there are very competent players in this top 10.
No, and I agree 1,000%, David. And it feels like, you know, last year the Pelicans found a good player and Yves Mesia had picked 21 in a bad draft. But this is a good draft. And so the Pelicans with the fourth best lottery odds, they're in a good position here where, yes, if you don't get Cooper Flagg, you know, it stings a little bit because of the season that you just went through. But there's like five other teams that are saying the exact same thing. And so outside of that, there's a little bit of a drop-off to Harper and then maybe another drop-off. It's kind of tiered with like Edgecombe and Bailey. But then other guys like Derek Queen from Maryland or Kamen Malawach from Duke as well. There's some good prospects basically in the top 7 or 8-ish picks. So it's not the end of the world if the Pelicans really fall out of those top two, as you mentioned with Flagg and Harper. They're going to get a stud, it feels like, at the top of this draft because it's such a good draft.
Yeah, I think obviously there are people who look at Joe Dumars and say, he's had top 5 picks and messed them up. And they'll think about Darko Milicic. But I think, you know, that was, again, a team drafting for need rather than taking the best player available at that time. And now there's less of a desire to do that where we are with players. Everybody's taking the best potential possible on the board, and there are a lot of good potential players. I think the most important thing going into the draft for the Pelicans is deciding what direction that they're going to go in. If you are in a rebuild, tell people early. Get on that program, make the trades you need to make to get into a rebuild and start building around that player if you do get a Cooper Flagg or a Dylan Harper. Okay, let's rebuild around this young man. If you're going to try to be a champion and you finish in the top 5 and you get a pick there, then find that player who's going to fit in and help bolster your team immediately. And then I think that there are also plenty of deals to be made. You can move on from a CJ McCollum now as a veteran going into his last year of his contract, who certainly doesn't want to be a part of any rebuilds at age 35. That's not in his best interest. So I think you start moving on from those types of players and filling out this roster. It can be done. I don't want people to think that things are dour and sad for the Pelicans. It's just that they're really hard, and hard decisions have to be made.
David, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, I always enjoy when you're on. And one more thing before you leave. Boy, was Kawhi something last night, wasn't he?
Ooh-wee. Oh, my God. Turn back the clock.
Man.
Kawhi Leonard. My goodness.
Man.
His ability to dominate at all three levels, get to the bucket, shoot the mid-range, shoot the three, and defend. When he's healthy, how many players terrorize the league as well as Kawhi Leonard?
Mm. Well, that list is real short, Dave. I can tell you, real short. David, thanks so much for joining us, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
All righty. David Grubb, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans, and Kawhi Leonard put on a performance last night that I couldn't take the TV off. I knew the Clippers were going to win this game, but I just continued to watch it and to see him hit shot after shot after shot.
And
I'm like, good gracious.
Mike, he's taking like a contested three with two guys in his face. Like, they were throwing doubles at him the whole time, and he kept making them. I'll talk about Kawhi, I think, for triple option today. That was an unbelievable performance last night.
Yeah, he was like a dude on the side of the beach trying to hit the ocean. Everything fell in. Everything fell in. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We have Evelyn Van Pelt on from the Rebel Walk to talk to us about that big list of Ole Miss players coming out for the 2025 NFL Draft right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTaylor along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, covers the Ole Miss Rebels for the Rebel Walk, Evelyn Van Pelt. Evie, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm just so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Eve, one of the things, I think I went back, and I know I wrote it to you. You got to go back, I think, to 1963 or 64 when the Rebels have had this many players that are projected to go in the top 100. It's a special year. And, you know, some of them you got to know very well in covering the Rebels day to day and on a weekly basis. But, you know, there's so much talk now about Jackson Dart. So I think everybody's going to have a different opinion on him as a player. But your interaction with Jackson, the person, because here's a guy that, you know, he's from California, so to speak. You know, and he comes here, and you know, it's different in the South. But, and you saw his maturity as the years went on, like anybody who's 18, 19, 20 years old. We all mature at a different rate. But in your interaction with Jackson, of handling the pressure of being a starting quarterback, not only on an SEC team, but on a team coached by Lane Kiffin.
Really good question. I tell you what, I feel like I had a front row seat for the growth of Jackson Dart. You're right, his on-field growth is documented, and different people have different opinions about his NFL potential and where he'll go. But just as a person and a leader, I got to tell you, he was impressive as a leader. And that really kind of surprised me. It's not a knock on him, but you're right. He kind of came in from the West Coast, a USC transfer, dropped into Oxford, Mississippi. and I tell you, I believe I saw kind of the beginning of the transformation of him the year before his senior year against Tulane. And they were actually, the Rebels were behind in the second half. And Jackson just seemed to pick the team literally up and put him on his back and carry him and, you know, hurdle people and, you know, whatever he needed to do. And after the game, he talked about that and just, it was all of a sudden he was very expressive about the team and how much the team meant to him. And then you fast forward to, you know, a lot of those guys. I mean, Dart, Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, Princely Amamiel, and a lot of those guys, Caden Prescorn, chose to come back for their final year and play. And Lane Kiffin has credited that to Jackson Dart. You know, he led those guys, and they all wanted to come back together, which was very, very unusual.
The thing with Jackson, I think he's harder on himself than any fan could be. I can see it in his eyes and how he talks after a good game or a bad game. When they put that mic in front of him in a good game, he doesn't want to talk about what went right. He'll give you what went wrong. And my thing is, that is the mark of a guy who's driven because of the fact he don't like losing and he don't like making mistakes out on the field. It's part of playing sports that's going to happen. But I think, Evie, I think he's a lot harder on himself than any media or any social media person could ever be on him.
Yes, and you know, you probably saw that if you recall after Ole Miss went into Tiger Stadium and lost this last season. And that really, really, really kind of at the time put a damper on, you know, all the playoff talk. And he was the player that came in and talked afterwards. And I mean, I will never forget it. I just wanted, as a mom, I just wanted to give him a hug. But he sat there and, you know, he had a hoodie on, but he faced everybody and he talked about his shortcomings. He didn't blame anybody else. He took responsibility and said, it's on me. You know, this is my fault. And it's kind of like you're saying, I will get better. I will do better. And after, you're right, even after a win, that's what he would do. And it reminded me a lot of like what I saw from Eli Manning, you know, when he was there. I mean, you have a win, but yet you're still thinking about what you left on the table, so to speak, what else we could have done and how we could have scored.
One of the guys I got to see in high school, he was at Como High School in Louisiana. He played quarterback. He was an option quarterback there. Yeah. And I got a couple calls from coaches at that time at Louisiana Tech that said, what do you think? I said, listen, don't put him as a defensive back. I'm going to tell you right now, he got to touch the ball some kind of way. If you put him at halfback or wide receiver, whatever, and he made the conversion to wide receiver, had 2 years at Tech where I think he learned how to play wide receiver. And I remember speaking to him before he transferred to Ole Miss, and he told me, I want to go somewhere where they throw the football a lot.
And he told me, one of the teams I'm looking at is Ole Miss. I said, well, Trey, I'm going to be honest with you. You won't find too many places they don't throw it anymore than Ole Miss does. And he kind of gave me a little grin about it. But you also see the maturity in Trey making the position change from quarterback to wide receiver, leaving Tech, going to Ole Miss. He came back because he really thought this was the year. And then what happens? Bang, he gets hurt. Right off the bat, and he didn't have the senior year like he wanted to. And he's not the fastest guy, but he is quick, and he's got some length on him to put those arms out and make a catch in between defenders. That's really impressive, and that's why I don't think he's getting out of round two.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think, you know, even hurt, Trey Harris had, you know, over 1,000 yards, 1,030 yards and 7 touchdowns. And he hardly, you know, I mean, and he missed a lot of games. He looked healthy at the combine. He looked great at pro day. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he gets out of the second round either. And golly, I mean, if he is on a team that has like traditional X receivers and aren't afraid to give their wideouts chances on 50-50 balls, I mean, he's your guy. I think he could develop into a legitimate wide receiver too by year two. Great guy too. I mean, one of the nicest guys. I mean, you know him. One of the nicest guys you could meet. Just really, really happy and excited to see where he goes.
Evie, you had him for 1 year after transferring from Alabama, but before he transferred to Alabama, he was at my alma mater, UL, Raging Cajun. Yes. Trey Amos, who Mike has projected as a second-round pick. I wanted to get your evaluation of him, how he played this year in Oxford, and what you see from him.
Man, I tell you what, I think everybody in Oxford wishes they could have Trey Amos another year because he brought skills and he brought an intelligence to the game. You know, he came after he left your school, then he went to Alabama and spent a season there and then came to Ole Miss. And I mean, I think he's got genuine NFL starter traits. He's versatile. I just think he has speed, processing speed and athletic traits where he's going to really develop in this area. And so I think, you know, and he's just from talking to him, I mean, he is the kind of corner who takes it personally when a receiver catches, you know, a ball. So,
and Evie's got some athletic arrogance about him.
Yes,
and listen,
yes,
that's not a bad
good
thing. It's
no,
not a bad not, thing.
Not to be a cornerback in the NFL. I mean, I think you got to have that, attitude. So really, really, really looking forward to him too. He was the class 2A state champion in the long jump.
Yes, he was.
So he's, you know, very explosive and you can see that in his play.
Evie, the first time I saw him, it wasn't on the football field. I covered the state track meet. That's the first time I saw Trey Amos.
Really?
I'll be honest.
Really?
It was not on a football
amazing
field. It was not on a football field. It was on the track. Well, he was on a field all right, but it wasn't a football field. He wasn't getting hit, or he wasn't hitting anybody. You only had him for 1 year at Ole Miss, but Walter Nolan, he's the buzz guy. I've had, you know, a lot of people tell me he's in their top 20. They think he'll go anywhere from, say, like 14 to 22 in round one. The Walter Nolan I saw last year at Ole Miss, he tilted the field. He was a badass player on the field. The one at A&M, every once in a while you would see him kind of hit that dial and move it. Last year, I know when he played LSU, those coaches and players along that offensive line was, man, he was in the backfield more than Nussmeier. You know, they had a difficult time blocking Walter Nolan. So from what you got to kind of interact with Walter, and he was the man, number one recruit in the country, coming there, a lot of expectations, and certainly with the NIL, there's a lot of pressure put on you to perform. One thing with Walter Nolan, he performed last year.
Boy, he did. He created so much havoc up there up front. And as you said, I mean, LSU coaches weren't alone in trying to figure out what to do with Walter. I mean, he was the anchor of that Ole Miss defense. And last season they set school records of 52 sacks, 120 tackles for loss. He was just I mean, a constant disruptor. You're right, in the backfield. And he could. He showed an ability to take over games. And what I thought was interesting is, you know, I mean, I full disclosure, I went to A&M. Walter started out at A&M. Okay. And he you're right. I mean, he was obviously a phenomenal player, number one recruit. But you didn't see from him what you saw once he got into Pete Golding and defensive line coach Randall Joyner's system. And part of it was, you know, I also heard, and this was not true, but you heard, you know, Aggies would say, well, you know, he was a bit of a diva, or he was absolutely nothing could have been farther from the truth at Ole Miss. I mean, he was a team player, you know, worked hard consistently, didn't take plays off, which I saw that from some of those players in that in the A&M defenses at that time, Jimbo defenses. And so really, really, really proud of Walter for how he came in, because you're right. I mean, I didn't even really think about it that way, but pressure, number one recruit, number one transfer, and he absolutely delivered.
One of the things I wish we had time to talk about, but man, the personality of J.J. Fagese. Oh, my God. He came to one of our camps, and I see him. He's like 288 pounds. Yeah. So I asked him, I said, J.J., so what you playing? He was like, well, coach, I think they'll put me at fullback or running back. I'm like, what? Fullback and running back? He said, yeah, I think I'll play a little tight end too. And I'm like, whoa, dude, did anybody, when they recruited you, weigh you? Because I knew he was close to 290. And then when I looked it up, I saw you weighed 288, and I was like, oh, goodness. But he is quite the personality.
He really is, and he's a sweet guy. When the Ole Miss all-girl cheer team won the national title in January, nobody knows this, but J.J. had a banner made and placed in the square in Oxford and took them out and treated them all to dinner. So he's a super, super guy, Chuckie Mullins Award winner, so just a fantastic guy, in addition to being a very big potential tight end, defensive lineman, and running back.
Evelyn, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to have you join us, and we appreciate your time and all your insights.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great rest of your week.
All right. Evelyn Van Pelt, Evie from the Rebel Walk. You can read all her insights. I know we got a lot of Ole Miss fans in the area. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one on Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday.
How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglio along with Charlie Long. I want to tell everybody at 5:20 this afternoon, Mo Bud, Rich Marty will be on with us. Former Saint, former Penn State star player. And I don't know that he watched every game of Tyler Warren, but he saw a bunch of them. And I'll get his thoughts on Tyler Warren being a former receiver himself and just the impact Tyler Warren made on that Penn State team. And then at 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our Bet 365 triple option feature at 6:30 tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. The LSU Fighting Tigers baseball team plays Northwestern State. And let's see, the Tigers, 2 of 3 against Alabama. Now, this coming weekend, the big series against University of Tennessee. Charlie, we've got a lot of text about Jackson Dart and the thought process here. And, man, I go back and I touched a little bit with it with Evelyn when she was on. Now, here was the guy who was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Utah. And he decides to go to USC. He got a lot of hype going there because he was a highly recruited guy. And I remember this was at the Manning Passing Academy. We had Keaton Slovis, who was at that time the starting quarterback at USC, came to Thibodeau. And in the conversation I had with Slovis, he brought up, you know, listen, I've been waiting my time, but, man, we got a guy coming in that's pretty good too. And I asked him who it was, and he told me Jackson Dart from Utah. And so it didn't take long, and Slovis goes down with an injury. Here comes Jackson Dart, and he ended up playing a lot of football as a freshman, and then the coaching change. Clay Hilton gets fired. They bring in Lincoln Riley, and right off the bat, you sort of had the feeling Lincoln was going to bring Caleb Williams with him. And so here you are, the big-time recruit, the Gatorade Player of the Year in Utah. You're the starting quarterback at USC. And basically, the new coach is going to tell you, hey, kid, I'd love to have you, but I'm bringing in Caleb Williams. And he goes, talk about a culture shock to go from, you know, the West Coast and California to Oxford, Mississippi. I thought he handled that all very well. And one of the things, sort of repeating what we had spoke about in the first hour, he does not like to lose. He is such a competitor, and you can see it out on the field with him. Sometimes his emotions get a little bit carried away with himself. The one bad habit he's got, and I've seen it in games, he'll pass up an easy completion downfield, 5, 8, 9 yards, try to hit the home run ball. Now, if that is part of what the system with Lane Kiffin, I'm sure that's some of it. But you got to realize that at times, you're not always going to try to hit the home run ball. You got to be able to complete that pass, get your first down, and move the chains. You go back to the Florida game, the Kentucky game, even the LSU game. Now, Trey dropped one early in that game. He was wide open. That would have been a touchdown.
But I think that's the one flaw I see in Jackson's game, and it's something where in that first year learning process, a good quarterback mentor is going to be able to straighten out with him.
So with Jackson Dart, as you mentioned, Mike, the kid cares. And you remember after the LSU game, he's in his hoodie, his hood's up. He just looks like all depressed. He's just like, I don't know how we lost this game. I can't believe we lost
this game. I agree.
Yeah, no, 100% with how LSU kind of snuck that one out there. But you can tell he hates losing, which is obviously a great attribute to have as a quarterback. But, you know, the physical tools that he has, he's an intriguing prospect, a three-year SEC starter, kind of like you were mentioning, after his journey from USC all the way down to Ole Miss and Oxford. And there's just these times, though, Mike, where I'm watching him, and I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, at the end of the Florida game, right, I was watching this live when Ole Miss played Florida late in the season, and Billy Napier, my guy Billy, was getting the Gators hot, right? They were going on this late season surge, and Florida plays Ole Miss, and at the end of the game, Ole Miss had multiple opportunities to win that game, and Jackson Dart was just throwing up lollipops, like back to back to back. I'm like, what is happening? Like, you're a legit NFL prospect. I know you have the talent. I know you have the arm talent. Where are you even throwing this to? So he has like some moments like that, but as you mentioned, we talked a little bit off air about this, Mike, that if he goes to the right coaching staff and the right system, there's some kinks that you'll be able to kind of iron out a little bit. You mentioned the term, you know, rubbing the sandpaper over some of the rough edges that you have with Jackson Dart, because there is some interesting traits there. Now, NFL.com, Lance Ehrlein, has the NFL comparison for him as Gardner Minshew.
He's a lot better than Gardner Minshew.
You know, listen, I think there's a significantly higher ceiling for Jackson Dart than someone like Gardner Minshew. It feels like that would kind of be like his floor, but I just thought that was worth kind of mentioning too.
Yeah, Lance is a buddy of mine, and man, we've been doing this almost the same number of years. But man, there I disagree with him about Jackson Dart, and I think somewhere late in round one, if some team doesn't pick him for them, some team will try to trade up in round one. Could that be the Saints? We'll have to watch and see. I know the Giants, the Browns,
Mike,
the Steelers have spent a lot of time. Every one of those organizations have spent a lot of time not only with him, with assistant coaches that have been with him, and kind of one-on-one with him.
This is just off rip. I don't have any kind of insider information. But doesn't it feel like L.A. and the Rams would be a perfect landing spot for Jackson Dart at the 26th of the Rawls pick?
It would be for 2026. The thing with that would be, man, Charlie, I'm so close with the Rams. You know, if the right corner or safety's there,
yeah,
he can help me win today in 2025. Matt Stafford, I still think, has got a couple years left with him. And I don't disagree with you that down the road,
the succession plan type of deal.
But if I'm Sean McVay and I see my secondary needs at safety, corner, and also along their offensive line, I want a guy that can help me win today. And I've said this many times, people, oh, Philly was lucky to get to where they were. You know the only team that gave them any issues late?
The Rams. And that young defensive
in Philly
line. Yeah, and listen, I agree with you, Mike. I think that, you know, especially if someone like Malachi Starks is there, Nick Amonwari, if you want to address safety, you know, I like Savone Revelle. I think it's a little bit of a risk coming off the ACL injury. The East Carolina corner, that's just a freak of nature athlete. There's a couple different options where they could address, you know, maybe their DB room. You mentioned offensive line too. This offensive line class, Mike, we've talked about it. It's kind of top heavy, and there's a little bit of a drop off. But if, you know, Josh Simmons somehow falls past Houston at pick 25, and they've done their research on him, and they're okay with his torn patellar tendon, the medical side of it, you know, I could see them taking him at pick 26 as well. So yeah, it's fair. Like, they could probably go best player available and try to run it back and see if they can win the NFC next year. But man, if you're just talking about fit for Jackson Dart,
it would be a good fit.
Going to McVay and being behind Stafford, like a great veteran QB where you don't have to play right off the bat, It feels like a really good fit for him. But as you kind of mentioned, this is also a team that's in win now mode.
They always in the win now mode, right, so to speak. They saw you. They pushed every chip in, did win a Super Bowl, and then had to kind of dissemble their football team afterwards. When we come back, have on with us Rich Marty, former Penn State star, also, man, great player with the Saints as a wide receiver, special teamer. He'll be on to talk about another Nittany Lion and tight end Tyler Warren right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlotte Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, former Nittany Lion, Saints star, wide receiver, special teamer, Rich Marty. Rich, great to have you on with us again, and we get to talk. We don't have A-Bear interrupt us.
I know I get to say a few more than one line, man. Less than an hour. I tell you, it's nice talking to you during, well, I'm calling it the off season. You guys are right in the middle of the season, and obviously everything getting ready to kick off. But always look forward to talking to you and the experts in the field. See what I can add to it.
Yeah, we have a good time on Tuesday. It's Rich and I and Bobby, and we do Sports on the Bay at noontime. It's the fastest 1 hour of TV you will ever watch in your life. Because we ain't sitting good. We finish.
It should be a variety show, Mike. It really should be a variety show. We spend about 4 minutes talking sports, and the rest is just the ideologies and philosophies of Bobby Hebert.
That is, and we're not stretching that. That is true. God bless him. Rich, you got to see Tyler Warren for the last couple years, and I know you attend, if not all, but most of the Penn State games. Man, is he a guy that sort of tilted the field for them this year? And we saw glimpses of it maybe the year before. Came in as a high school quarterback, and it was just to find the right spot. And, Rich, my thing is, in watching him, it's not like he's all the time wide open, but you'd swear he is. He catches the ball in between arms and hands and defenders, and then all of a sudden he catches it and takes off, and you got a 245-pound man that's trying to run you over. From a Nittany Lions standpoint, your thoughts on what you saw last year out of Tyler Warren?
Well, I don't know if we have enough time to describe this kid. I'll tell you what, no, there was one game in the semis last year, maybe to get to the semis. I don't think a receiver had a catch. He was the entire offense, and they won the game. I forget who they played. But this kid's, you know, the way to describe him, and I talked to Michael a little bit up there because he sees him every day, is Jeremy Shockey 2.0. He's a Taysom Hill. He's a 6'6", 260-pound Taysom Hill that can play every play and every position. I mean, he's not going to play special teams, but he can play every position. He can play quarterback. He punted the ball last year on one or two occasions. The kid is just and he's one of those kids he can catch it in traffic, and you're right. It's not like he's going to be the quickest guy on the field. He's not going to fake a lot of people out. He gets open, but even when he's covered, he just catches. He's just a tough kid. You can't get between him and the ball, and he's double teamed. Remember, he's double teamed all the time. It's not, they know he's the offense. I mean, he's been Penn State's offense for 2 years, and they have running backs, but the receiver corps has been really kind of silent for the last couple of years. They haven't had a great receiver, and he's been the guy, and everybody knows it, and they still can't stop him. The kid's incredible.
Rich, one of the games, we do an LSU pregame, so Herb Tyler and I are talking. He's like, Mike, who's the guy? Who's 44? And I'm like, you're going to hear a lot about him and say he's Tyler Warren. And he said, man, I don't remember hearing anything. I said, man, he is really good. He ain't going to end up being a first-round pick. And we watching the USC game, Herb and I, every play. I think he ended up with like 16 catches. And my thing after about the 11th one was, Herb, here's my deal. I make sure he don't make one more catch. I don't care if I got to put three guys on him. He's not going to beat me that way. You know, but every play you saw, either double coverage or bracket, And USC's got some guys in that secondary that can run. They could not stop Tyler Warren that day.
Well, you know, I mean, you want to disrupt the pattern, right? That's the first thing you try to do. But you can't stop him on the line of scrimmage. He's off. You watch him off the line of scrimmage. No one can stop him. Again, he's 6'6", 255, 260 pounds. He's a horse. You can't stop him. And I mean, I talked to Michael last night. He said, Dad, I think he's the best player out of here since Barkley. And then Abdul is a great player coming out. Obviously, he's going to be a first-round pick, too. But he thinks he's a game changer. He's going to get in that locker room. Hopefully, it's the Saints. But, I mean, I know the Giants are looking at him in round three, but pick number three. But he's a kid that can come in, and you think it's a quarterback all the time? There aren't many Jaden Daniels out there that come in their rookie year and make a difference like he has. But this kid, he can make the offense for any team. That's how good he is. And that's how dominant he is. And he's a locker room kid. He's a great kid. He's a mature kid. And he's one of those leaders in the locker room that you want. I mean, I'll tell you what. I hope he lasts till number nine. And maybe the Saints, it's worth it trading up for him if they can. But, I mean, he's a game changer. And the Saints need so many positions. They have so many holes to fill that this kid can really, he's another Taysom Hill at 2.0 or Jeremy Shockey 2.0. The kid's a phenomenal football player and good kid.
Rich, I love listening to the prospects talk pre-draft and especially at like the combine. And down here, we know about Will Campbell. And if you're just confident that a guy's going to have like a 10-year NFL career, like you're banking something on Will Campbell. But I feel the exact same way about Tyler Warren. And at the NFL Combine, he had a quote. He said, I wear 44 because my dad watched John Riggins play, Pro Football Hall of Famer John Riggins, and said, quote, this is how I want you to run the ball. And Tyler Warren, when you watch him run, you know, you can kind of see where he got his inspiration from there. He, like, I talked about this with Mike. He's such an instant upgrade. Whichever team takes him in the top 10, because I don't think he's going to fall out of the top 10, is going to have an instant upgrade to their passing attack and their run game. And Tyler Warren is just, as you mentioned, he's a game changer, man.
Rich, Charlie's a little too young, but Rich did play with John Riggins in Washington.
There you go.
I did. And let me tell you, John, I mean, people don't think when he was at the end of his career when I played with him. He played three more years after that, believe it or not, 14 years, whatever it was. But, you know, there wasn't a guy that worked harder than him. Now, he didn't play with the rest of the team. He didn't practice. He did his thing. But you talk about it's hard to call him a blue collar worker or player. But he was. I mean, he did everything he had to do to be as good as he could be every single play, and Warren is the same way. I mean, he is just every play you're going to get 100% of him. That's hard to do when you're playing 60 minutes. And this kid, I mean, he's just a special kid. And I agree with you, Charlie. I don't think he'll get past number 10. I think he may be the pick of the draft. You got Abdul, who's he's a game changer as well with Taysom Hill because they force teams to defend things across the board that they wouldn't. Well, they don't know if they're going to get a quarterback. They don't know he's going to be on the left side. They're going to be a tight end. Going to be a wide receiver. They're going to have to do the same thing with Warren. I mean, you got to spend time defending against him, and that opens it up for the other players on the team. So he's a game changer. Man, I can't say enough about this kid. He is. He's the real deal.
Rich, being a former quarterback as he was, his understanding of the game, and I think is there. He gets it, and he also understands the pressure of playing in the NFL, okay? Because when you're playing quarterback, win or lose, and Bobby's the first to say it, you get way too much credit when you win. You get way too much blame when you lose. You like the coach. But I think with Tyler Warren, you see a guy who understands that, yeah, I got a lot of pressure on me, but I'm going to show you how good I am. And it doesn't matter if I'm open or I'm covered. Throw it to me, and I'm going to come down with it. Okay, I think we lost Rich. We'll try to get him back on the line. But what Rich was talking about was comparing him to Travis Kelce with the Kansas City Chiefs. Rich, we got you back online, and I know you were trying to compare him to Travis Kelce, and we've seen that, especially early in his career, that even when he was covered, he was still getting open, which I know that doesn't make any sense, but it does when you watch him play.
Well, you talk about understanding the game as a quarterback. You know, the game, it's not, you know, we used to, as a wide receiver, used to be, you got to jam your foot, you got to make that right angle, and you can't come out of the break as fast as you go into the break. Tight ends is not so much. It's finding that hole and being on the same page with the quarterback, and it's that timing. And he has that ability. As you said, he has the background of being a quarterback, so he knows what the quarterback's thinking, and he knows where the gaps are in the defenses. So you don't have to be the fastest guy in the world. You just have to be in the right spot at the right time and then be able to catch the ball, which he does all of that.
Rich, what are the things from when you played, there's so much emphasis now on speed, and a lot of guys get elevated this time of year. You look at their resume, and it's fairly short. What I look at for a receiver, and, you know, and Charlie and I have talked about this, you watch Ibuka at Ohio State, and, man, he kind of corkscrews you into the ground every play. Man, he's got you spun as a route runner, and he's really good at it. But I think and you are the fastest guy out there, but I think today we put so much emphasis on speed, 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 but it's really football speed, football quickness. And can you turn that, what you would want to call track speed, into football production? And some guys can't do it.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. I remember Joe Theismann when I was there. He said, you know, if I have to throw the ball over 35 yards, the percentages go down radically. And so, you know, everyone says they want that guy to stretch out the defense and to be able to go deep. You know, maybe not. If you can catch him inside, I know Kansas City does it. I mean, of course, they had Tyreek.
Kelce.
Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill. But, I mean, most of their stuff's underneath and guys getting open. And the same up in Cincinnati. I mean, so I think you have to have a certain amount of speed. The other side of the ball is these defensive backs are like lightning. I mean, if you look at it, the average size of receivers has gone, what is it, probably 6'2", 6'3", now 200 pounds is kind of the prototype. Defensive backs haven't gotten that big. It's still the little guys, but they run like rabbits. So it's hard to outrun these guys nowadays. But you got to be able to catch it underneath, and you know, you got to be able to get open, and you have to understand the gaps and the defenses, and you have to be able to think quickly on your feet because, I mean, talk to Breeze and those guys that know the receivers are making split-second decisions. He makes split-second decisions when he was playing to hit these guys, know exactly where they are. And if you can get that chemistry, you're going to be successful in the NFL.
Rich, last question for you, and I say this all the time. Man, I love Drew Brees. Archie was a tremendous player, Ricky and Martin Anderson and Willie Rove. But I think the most talented player that ever put on that black and gold was Chuck Muncy. And you got to play with Chuck. Now, Chuck's main focus wasn't on football a lot, but when he wanted to play, it was like you are watching something special. So for people who hadn't watched Chuck or maybe grew up in a different era, you've seen a lot of football players play with a lot of great guys throughout the years. Man, your thoughts on Chuck Muncy?
Well, first of all, Chuck was a great guy. He was a good guy. I mean, he had his issues, obviously, but here's a guy who was, what, 6'2", 230? But he could turn the corner, Mike. I mean, he'd run a sweep. He could turn the corner in three steps, be at full speed, and running at a you know 80-degree angle or whatever it is, 90-degree angle. He was incredible and could just – and tough. I mean, he was hard to tackle. He was all leg from the waist down. He was legs. And, if he could have been clearly the best running back in the league, without question. If he took care of himself and I mean, he really never trained, and he really never, you know, got. He was so talented. He didn't have to do a lot to be successful. Ultimately, it caught up with him. But I think you're right. I think from a pure talent standpoint, I think Muncy was incredible. But I got to go back to Breeze. Mentally, and the preparation that Breeze did for every game and every season, there's nobody that comes close to him.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you totally. Rich, look forward to seeing you real soon. Thanks so much for joining us. And, hey, listen, if we get Warren, we'll get you back on.
Yeah, I'll be happy. I'll be thrilled with this. I already got a fishing trip set up with him.
Okay, I got you. Thank you, Rich. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Rich Morty, former Nittany Lion, New Orleans Saints special team wide receiver, and man, has watched so much of Tyler Warren play throughout his career. And Charlie, you can't get too many better accolades than what you just heard. Rich is not a guy to really put a lot of mustard on the hot dog. He put a lot on Tyler Warren. That goes to show what he thinks of him. We'll be back with our Bet 365 triple option feature right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steve, I'll go with you first.
Well, gentlemen, there definitely is no shortage of sports to talk about right now. We've got NHL playoffs going on, NBA playoffs, the college baseball season. We've been talking nonstop about the upcoming NFL draft, which starts Thursday. Also starting Thursday, Zurich Classic. Going on today, though, we had the annual celebrity golf shootout at the Zurich Classic. And former Saints punter Thomas Morstead dropped in the game-winning putt. He and linebacker Pete Werner came out on top for the annual charity event. Now, this is actually a three-peat for Pete Werner. Congrats to the Saints linebacker. Some other local athletes or, you know, guys dealing with sports locally involved in the event. You had LSU head coach Brian Kelly along with quarterback Garrett Nussmeier, and then from the black and gold side of things, Saints kickers Blake Groupe and Charlie Smith along with safety Justin Reed. But it was Thomas Morstead and good old Pete Werner coming out on top.
Watch out next year, because I know who Brian Kelly is bringing in.
Uh-oh.
It's a ringer, Kyle Williams. I'm telling you, don't get on a golf course and got money that he can take away from you.
I believe you.
Man, Kyle, people look at him, there's no way he's that good of a golfer. Oh, yes, he is. So I think next year Coach Kelly may well bring in the ringer. Because, listen, out of all that group, do you think that Pete Werner was the best golfer? Sometimes looks can be deceiving when you're playing golf.
Yes, indeed. Like I said, three-peat for Pete.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with one of the most impressive performances I've seen from a basketball player in a very long time. And the number of points doesn't necessarily jump off the page, but what he was doing on the floor last night, talk about turn back the clock. And Mikey brought it up when we were talking with David Grubb in the 4 o'clock hour. Kawhi Leonard cooked the Denver Nuggets last night in a must-have game for the LA Clippers. I really love this series. The first game, obviously, Russell Westbrook, who I saw on social media a great tweet from Kofi, who works, I think he does work with like John Boyce in Secret Base, I'm pretty sure. He had a great tweet that Russell Westbrook is basically like the item box in Mario Kart. You just don't know what you're going to get from him on any given play. And he makes these huge shots late in that first game. Denver pulls out an overtime victory over the Clippers. So game two in Denver, it's a huge matchup because you don't want to go down 0-2. Kawhi Leonard looks healthy, guys. And it's the first time he's looked healthy probably since that 2019 run where he led the Raptors all the way to the NBA Finals and won the championship that year. 39 points last night on 15 of 19 shooting from the field. And when I tell you 15 of 19 shooting from the field, he was taking some contested jumpers, contested threes. It wasn't like Denver was playing bad defense on him. He was just hitting everything he threw up. A 92% true shooting percentage last night, guys. It was unbelievable. And he was making great defensive plays at the very end of the game when it's still in reach. The series has been cinema, by the way. Like it feels like neither team has had a lead bigger than like 7 or 8 points in the first two games combined. It's just been back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's got this Western Conference Finals feel. But when it mattered most, Kawhi Leonard came up huge for the Clippers to even that series up at one game apiece. I will be watching every single one of those games in this series, and I hope it goes 7, guys.
Guys, on a sad note today, and Timmy Brando sent me this. Mike Patrick, longtime play-by-play guy for ESPN. 36 years he worked with the network, college, pro football, other things. And I think he had a 16 or 18-year run when they had that Sunday night lineup on ESPN, Sunday night pro football game, passed away at 80 years old. I always remember Mike. He was such a good guy. And, you know, when they would do games in the dome, you know, Bobby and I would kind of be in line to try to get out. And he would always, you know, kind of stop and want to talk. And he was just such a gracious guy. And that voice of Mike Patrick that you heard for so, so many years. I think he retired in 2018. The other thing I remember about him, and it was every year that I would say over the last 12 years, so I would say that he did it. It probably was from 2006 or 7 to 2018. He would write me an email about, Mike, if you get a chance, send me one of your draft guides. And it just so happens that he passed away today at 80 years old, memorable voice, and did some great, great work for ESPN. And that voice is sort of etched with you because you heard it for so long, not only in pro football, but also in college football. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettiglia, Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and Steve. LSU and Northwestern may not be at 6:30 tonight. Looks like it's some lightning and thunder in the area.
Yeah, a little bit of a lightning delay right now. We've got a 6:30 now. Pre-game coverage, first pitch has been pushed back to 7 p.m. right here on WWL.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
What is going on, everybody? It is Tuesday, April 22nd. Just two more days till the NFL draft gets underway. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage right here on WWL for you to tune into tonight. We got LSU baseball a little bit delayed. Pre-game coverage starting 6:30. First pitch now set for 7 right here on WWL AMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Earlier today, we got to hear from the Pelicans' new executive vice president of basketball operations, Joe Dumars. Welcome back to New Orleans. Welcome back to Louisiana. The biggest, I guess, news coming out of Dumars' press conference was the fact that he was asked about any kind of demands to be trading Zion Williamson now that he's on board here in New Orleans. And he's like, well, if that happens, it's news to me. So that seemed to be something that was way overblown. It didn't seem right that, you know, one of the first things your new EVP, I guess we'll say for sure, coming in is saying that, you know, you're going to trade one of your star pieces. Albeit his injury history has been an issue, but man, oh man, when Zion's on the court, there's not a lot of guys like him.
So, yes, that was some of the big news. The Willie Green stuff, I think, was also really big.
Steve, right, the fact that he is present.
There was some inclination that he was going to be returning for 2025 in this upcoming 2026 season. At the same time, the fact that he was at the presser is kind of a sign, right? Now, the thing with Zion, like, I think that was just kind of buzz. That, oh, they're getting a new executive, they're going to shop Zion. You know, nobody really knew that.
The nation's dying to get Zion out of here.
Yeah, and I understand that. And Milwaukee's like the same thing with Giannis. The nation's dying for them to trade Giannis to some other bigger market. Anyways, but at the same time, like, apparently when he answered the question, and we'll play the audio here in just a little bit, he responded with the only edict that he got from Gail was that she wants to know what winning an NBA championship is like. Joe Dumars did that. Both as a player and an executive.
Check.
So, you know, we'll see if he can do it here. It would be great. I know that he didn't have the best end of his tenure in Detroit when he stepped down in 2014, but we got to give him a chance and let him do his work.
You mentioned Joe Dumars talking about Zion Williamson. He was asked, does he have a relationship with Big Z at all?
Well, I'll say this. At the league office, I've had to talk to Zion a few times. So I do have a relationship with Zion that started in my role at the league office. I won't go into those conversations there, but we've talked since then. And I've talked to Zion since I became EVP here, and we had exceptional conversations on the phone. Actually, I've talked to every player. Willie and I talked, what, 5 minutes, Willie, on the phone, something like that? Like, we talked for a couple minutes on the phone. But I've talked to every player on the floor. I called every player and talked to each one of them individually. So, yeah, I tried to reach out and make sure that I touch these guys and let them know, let's go. It's time. It's time here in New Orleans.
A little bit of humor right off the bat from Dumars talking about, you know, got some phone calls at the NBA office about Zion Williamson. You know, he had some issues being either late for practice, late for a team playing. So, you know, Big Z had to fess up and, you know, talk to the big man about that. So, unfortunately, had that kind of relationship to start out with Dumars. Hopefully, things get better on that front.
Yeah, the disciplinarian. And you don't want him to be too much of a disciplinarian with Zion. You hope that Zion just matures and no more of those issues, please.
Looking at some of the other things Dumars talked about, one of the biggest issues, probably the biggest issue with this Pelican squad this season, injuries. It just really decimated any chances they had of being a playoff team and then, shoot, not even being a play-in worthy caliber squad. We saw the results this year. It was just abysmal, tough to get through. The end of the season couldn't come quicker for this squad, but Dumars was asked, how do you fix this injury issue with this Pel squad?
Find out what's happening. Like, so, you know, you see it from afar. I'm watching it this past season. I'm watching all the injuries happen here, and I don't know exactly what's happening. And so I'll sit and talk with medical staff and all the health and performance people, and at some point I'll get to sit down with them this week, hopefully, and just kind of get a handle on what's been going on, what's been happening, why are these injuries happening, what are your thoughts on this. I think that's the best thing that you can do, is listen to the people who are dealing with this on a daily basis. Don't come in with any preconceived notions, because I wasn't here. I don't know what happened.
Dumar's got to get down to the bottom of that and fix whatever they can. You can chalk it up to bad luck if you want, but it just seems between the Saints and the Pelicans, injury issue is just way too much of a problem this past season. We'll chalk it up to something in the water there at the facility right now. I really don't know. It's really mind-blowing when you consider looking at the key pieces on both the Saints and Pel squads that suffered really serious injuries this season.
And it goes a little bit back to what we were talking about with Willie, and part of the reason why they're bringing him back is that,
sure,
as Rod Walker from the Advocate has posted, he wasn't given a good hand with all the injuries that they dealt with this year. It was a ridiculous amount from the very start of the season. Like, it hit in October, Steve. And then when you dig such a big hole and it's impossible to kind of come out of, like, it's kind of got to be a mulligan, right? So I understand it.
Dumars was also asked, he's just getting acclimated to his new role here. What are some of his goals for the next few months with the Pelicans?
Listen more than you talk. Look, I got a lot of experience. I've seen a lot of stuff over the years, but I haven't seen it here in New Orleans. And so to come here and just talk, and you're not listening. I've yesterday did a lot of listening. I did a lot of listening this morning. After this is over with, the rest of the week, I sit down with people and I tell them, like, tell me what's happening. Like, what's going on? What can be better? What are we doing wrong here? What are we doing right here? Like, who's got positive energy? Who's got bad energy in the building? Like, I'm asking questions and letting people tell me what's happening. To come in, you can have all the experience in the world, but if you don't know the culture of the building, if you can't talk to people and let them talk to you, you're missing. And so I don't want to miss. I want to listen to people tell me what's happening.
Talked about the culture building for this Pel squad. And I thought, another thing that stood out for me there, it's like, who's got the good attitude? Who's got the bad attitude? You want those positive influences around your team, around the building. Don't want the negative Nelly constantly being a burden. So that's something that Dumars will be going through. He was also asked, can he build this Pel squad into a contender after such an abysmal season?
I wouldn't have come if I didn't think that. Like, I wouldn't have just to take a job. Like, for me, that's of no interest. So I wouldn't have come if I didn't think that we could build and become winners here. And so that was the whole purpose for me coming. Otherwise, I would have stayed where I was. But I think you have to be able to pick the right place, the right time, the right people, the right team. You have to be able to assess that. And then you got to be honest with yourself. I think you have to be self-aware. You got to know who you are. You got to know what you can do and what you can't do. You got to know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. I just think New Orleans works for me.
New Orleans just works for me. Great bite there from Joe Dumars. One thing, too, with the outlook from this team in such a rough year, he had a pretty solid job in the NBA front office over there. So why leave all that for a job here in the city?
I like the core here. I think there's some really good young pieces here. I think that there's a fan base. If you win in New Orleans, I think everybody in this room knows, you start winning in New Orleans, people are going to come out, man, in droves. And so I know that this was, first of all, an incredible fan base. Secondly, for me at this point in my career, ownership of where I work was of paramount importance. And so coming here and working for Ms. Benson, coming here and looking at the core of who's here, I've been knowing Willie since he was at Cooley High in Detroit. And so I just thought all those things together, for me personally, it was just like, this is the right fit. This is perfect right here.
And you heard Dumars there right now. He's known head coach Willie Green for a while now, since Cooley High in Detroit. So those ties go deep there. I would say congrats to Willie Green, but nothing is definite, set in stone that he's coming back. I do think he deserves a fair shake at least another run to see if you can have this healthy squad and what he can do going forward with this team. And I know the rest of the organization likes him too.
We'll say congrats to Joe Dumars for getting this job.
There you go. Kinda,
we talked a little bit off air about it, Steve. He felt like he had kind of a posh job in New York with the league offices.
He didn't need this job.
But there was also, you know, maybe the potential itch to get back into it and get back into the lead executive chair of an NBA franchise and try and win with the team again, just like he did with Detroit, both as a player and in the early 2000s as an executive. So best of luck to him.
And whether he's just, you know, saying the right thing or he really believes in his heart, you do love to hear he wants to come back to do it for Louisiana, a guy that cares about being back home.
Let's get it, man.
Let's get it. Also, when we get back from the break, time for you to get some Jazz Fest tickets. I'll give out the code word of the day. Stay tuned after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk, and who's ready to party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is, oh, that's an easy one, folks, Gumbo. That's Gumbo, G-U-M-B-O. Now just go to WWL.com/contest, register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance. All you got to do is listen at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. for the Jazz Fest code word of the day to see amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Lenny Kravitz, Cage the Elephant, Santana, Patti LaBelle, Trombone Shorty, and so much more. Good luck. Happy festing, folks, from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Looking at some of the lineup changes for the Bayou Bengals tonight, we got Jared Jones going to be at third base this evening. Jake Brown hits cleanup and is at first base. We got Jaden Newt on the mound for the Bayou Bengals, and Cade Arambidi will be behind the dish.
Yeah, it's some experiment thing going on there. Jared Jones playing third base. I think he's been really good at first. I don't know. I guess Jay's just kind of...
And Jay we trust, right?
Yeah, Jay's just probably testing something out against Northwestern, which, by the way, as we've mentioned before, Steve, the Southland opponents, Southland Conference is really solid this year. They might be a multi-bid league by the time the end of the season happens. So, you know, can't overlook Northwestern State tonight, but LSU never overlooks these midweek games.
Thanks for tuning in, New Orleans. We're going to have a break for the pregame coverage starting up right now, and then first pitch at 7 o'clock on WWL. Who dat?
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.